open the Senate Revenue Committee. So what I'm thinking is we'll move Senate Bill 25, and then we'll get back to the tax credit hearings. We've got, this week is full of hearings on our tax credits, or those who requested hearings, and we're just working through them. And today we'll hear from two that we heard from in the Business Committee, which are Senator Bruce Starrs on water transit vehicles and then a health care tax credit. Open work session on Senate Bill 25. So Beth, no amendments.
Chairman Deckard and committee members, with Senate Bill 25, you've already heard this. This basically is a Treasury Department's bill dealing with the ability to accept donations for awarding then scholarships and grants and other incentives to account owners. Now, basically, with your Dash 1 amendment, these are really pretty minor changes, but it's kind of basically defining a little bit better the uses of the donated funds. And then it's also amending a new statute, 348-256, by specifying that all monies credited to the Oregon 529 College Savings Network are continuously appropriated to the Oregon 529 College Savings Board, and then it specifies those sources of the Oregon 529 College Savings Network Fund to include then the gifts and donations made to the state of Oregon. It's clarifying that the board can use those monies in the fund to pay administrative costs and expenses of the board and the College Savings Network to then provide those scholarships and grants to account owners and potential account owners and their beneficiaries. So this is really a technical amendment. Treasury got recommendations from, I think, the Attorney General's office on this issue, and it just kind of clarifies what they're going to be doing with this grant money. And then it doesn't change the revenue impact. It's still minimal.
Great. Questions for Lizbeth? I would definitely entertain a motion on the Dash 1 amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 25.
Senator Metzger has moved the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 25 discussion. Any objection?
So, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 25 as amended to the floor if we do pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved, or Senator Metzger has moved.
Usually it's Vice Chair Starr.
Senator Metzger has moved Senate Bill 25 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion?
I was listening.
So we're about to vote on 25, which is the
process. I was running down as a lobbyist was holding on to me. There was plenty of people coming in, but I broke away.
Wow.
All right.
Monday
I don't think
morning.
I have anything to do with the bill. <It's> tomorrow.
Well, guess who's going to carry this one, then? I mean, they break free from a lobbyist to get here.
That's right.
Senator Metzger has moved Senate Bill 25 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation as amended. Any discussion? Any objections? Senator Brzezinski?
Yes, sir.
We'll have to ask you questions about your dexterity in the hallways. Okay, so we'll get back to our public hearings on tax credits, and I'm going to open a public hearing on both 896 and 866 and invite Senator Bruce Starr up. 896, and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 866. Sure, what's that?
Senator Deckard and committee members, with Senate Bill 896, this is establishing a new employer tax credit for wages paid to employees who assist in the manufacture of a water transit vessel. And then the tax credit is the lesser of a certain portion, and so you do have a blank in the bill yet to be determined, of the wages that are paid then to the employees during the tax year for which the credit is claimed, or a maximum tax credit amount. Again, there's a blank in the bill. It's specifying that tax credit may not exceed the tax liability of the taxpayer. Clarifies that the wages included in the tax credit calculation cannot include wages from employees that the employer received federal funds for on-the-job training. So it applies to persons that are initially hired then on or after January 1st, 2006. and the tax credit begins in on or after January 1st, 2006. So basically, this is prospective. It's just for new hires in this specific industry sector of building ships and things here in Oregon. From looking at this particular sector, it does not have a very large revenue impact as far as even the projections for the employment in this sector is projected between 2006 and 2012 is less than 50 employees. So as far as the number of new employees in this sector, it's real small. The issue is whether or not there also are other new companies that we know about or would be attracted to this sector due to this bill. And basically looking at that, if you looked at, since there are so few employees, and if you looked at the 2003 average annual wage for this industry of only $36,642, if you set that tax credit at even 10%, the state general fund revenue loss would be minimal and less than $50,000 per year. And I don't know exactly what you wanted to put in the blanks, but that gives you an idea anyway. At a 10% credit level, this would be minimal, given the fact that if we don't hear of any other industries, new companies that are supposed to be coming into this particular sector, if we just looked at the employment forecast for water transit manufacturing of these type of vessels here in Oregon. And then with your Senate Bill
860. Well, can we stick with it? Let's do, if we could, let's stick with this one, 896. I'm kind of interested in this. We heard it in the Business Committee. So in working up a revenue impact, because you would have to project out how many jobs this might incent to Oregon, I've always been curious about this. So that's new revenue to the state, mm-hmm. of those new jobs coming in. But we would have to, for the credit, to prepare a revenue impact statement, deduct out what revenue we think folks might credit against, and that would be the revenue impact statement.
Yeah, Chairman Deggert, really all I've done is look at the employment forecast for this particular industry, and given that employment forecast is very low. But the other issue is there's no, you know, when it talks about a new hire, it doesn't have language in here to say, okay, if somebody retired and then they were just replacing someone, then that would be a new hire. Mm-hmm. So you don't have that netting going on of, you know, basically that's what you have in a forecast is a netting. You have in there embedded a typical rate of like retirement and stuff is taken into consideration. But in the bill itself, you just say new hires after January 1st, 2006. So that would include anyone who's just even being hired because somebody left. Could be due to retirement or moving out of state or whatever. But so it's not like there's any threshold of how many new hires you have to have or you could have. This issue also, which you kind of addressed in your other bill, of avoiding anyone, laying anyone off, and then turning around and rehiring them again, you know, after January 1st, 2006. So, you know, there's that kind of language is not in Senate Bill 896 at this point, is any provisions to avoid a company laying people off in order to be able to hire them afterwards and then getting a tax credit.
Mm-hmm. Well, Senator Starr, good morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm State Senator Bruce Starr, representing Senate District 15 in Western Washington County. Appreciate the opportunity to testify in support of Senate Bill 896. I've got some short testimony. Appreciate the staff report on the bill and the issue of laying off and rehiring. You know, if that's one that's of concern, we certainly can amend the bill, but my understanding that what we're talking about in this bill is not something that's really occurring in Oregon today. So it really would be about bringing in a new industry. I'll just read my testimony. I think each of you have that. You also have a mock-up of what a water transit vessel could look like. Senate Bill 866 is a relatively simple bill which will encourage an Oregon industry to be born or perhaps reborn. Portland has a long history of being a shipbuilding city, but with few exceptions, that's just it, history. There is capacity, dormant facilities waiting for a new opportunity. The genesis of Senate Bill, I'm sorry, it's 896, my testimony is wrong, of Senate Bill 896 is born out of discussions with some business people who have the idea to create and build a new business in Portland. The business is one of building vessels to transport people via the water, quote, water transit vessels. I've included a concept drawing with what one of these vessels could look like. These vessels are currently being built on the East Coast, but could easily be built here. The question is, are we interested in having them built here? If we are, this bill could be the leverage which helps to encourage the significant amount of private capital needed to start the enterprise. These vessels could be used on the Willamette River, Columbia River, Puget Sound, San Francisco Bay, numerous other locations. Obviously, they could be sailed wherever, internationally for that matter. I'm most interested in bringing this industry to Portland and then having the prospect to encourage water transit in the Portland-Vancouver area to relieve already congested highways through an innovative means of moving people in non-highway modes. Again, the amount of the credit is left blank in this bill, and I'd be willing to work with members of this committee to determine the appropriate level of credit. We could also amend it to include a declining credit over time as the industry gets established. Mm-hmm. So that's another option that we could talk about. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on this bill. And Mr. Chair, again, I apologize for not having additional testifiers here. It's this late notice and trying to get folks' schedules coordinated. There are folks that are interested in this in the Portland area, and I could arrange to have them come to Salem if the committee is interested, maybe working one-on-one with your schedules to have them come and talk with you personally about the opportunities here. But trying to get them here Monday morning at 8:30, I wasn't able to accomplish that. But I do appreciate the opportunity to hear the bill and testify this morning.
Thank you. I am interested in this. It seems to me one of those, if you can incent them to come. And so I guess the questions that are going through my mind are, what are the, do you need to further define water transit vessels so that, to get at Liz Beth's point, of are there existing jobs? The quick scan that I did, I wouldn't guess there are existing jobs in the water transit vehicle manufacturing, but that would obviously be one, is you'd want to really define that. And then what are the opportunities that Oregon, you know better than I, or the folks you're working with, to actually incent a manufacturer to come here? And then we just structure the credit accordingly.
Okay. Well, I can... I'm working with these folks. I just got an email, I think, yesterday over the weekend, because I was asking, you know, how do you define these? And I got a Coast Guard definition that we could easily slip into the bill to define more specifically what we're talking about. And again, I'll be willing to work with members of this committee and have some of these folks from Portland come down and talk about what are the opportunities, what are the locations, what are the facilities that are kind of just sitting there. There's one, and if they were sitting here, they'd tell you exactly where it is, but or the name of the facility. But it's near the St. John's Bridge. That's just sitting there, not being used at all, and it would just be the opportunity to bring a new industry with the facilities right there.
And they're putting a business plan together. These are the folks that are thinking.
Yeah, they're looking at this as a possibility. And the question is, could we as a state help to encourage that, provide an incentive to help get the thing jump-started?
Hmm. Other questions for Senator Starr? Well, I'll say it again. I'm interested.
Okay.
I think it sounds like one that it's one of those... But for, unless they come here and actually bring the jobs, that's why I think the revenue impact should be relatively small, because there would be new jobs to the state paying a decent salary.
Exactly.
Okay, 896, Liz Beth.
Oops, Senator, that's what you just...
866.
Okay. So, Chairman Deckard and committee members, with Senate Bill 866, there's two credits in here. So basically the first credit is establishing a new employer tax credit for a portion of the wages paid to an expansion in the number of full-time employees of the business during the tax year. It then provides definitions for full-time employee and qualified employer. It requires the employer to be either a new employer in Oregon or employ 10% more full-time employees than in the prior year. It specifies that the corporate or personal income tax credit to be a certain percentage, and that's a blank in the bill, of the wages paid by the employer for the new full-time employees. It then requires the employer to apply to the Department of Revenue for a tax credit. It restricts certain employees from being a qualified employee for purposes of calculating the tax credit. Then it limits that tax credit to the tax liability of the business and a particular percentage of the total wages paid by the employer in the state of Oregon during the tax year, and again, that's a blank in the bill. It's specifying that if the tax credit is claimed by a new employer, 50% or more of the full-time employees cannot have been employed by the same previous employer, or if the business is acquired, 50% or more of the employees cannot have been employed by the previous employer. It allows them the tax credit to be claimed by a new employer if the previous employer would have qualified for the tax credit. So it's kind of like the tax credit can move from one employer to the other. Then it's disallowing the tax credit if 20% or more of the full-time employees of the employer had been previously employed by an employer who had 20% or more common ownership with the employer. So basically, you can't be having the employees be of another firm in which the company also owns. And it provides the Department of Revenue then with rulemaking authority for implementing this tax credit. Now, I haven't done any work yet on this particular provision or this tax credit, because this is going to be looking at all the different businesses, the projections then, and employment for those different sectors, and trying to get at, this is quite narrowly defined as far as you have to have 10% or more employees per year. It has to be a new employer, or they have to, have a pretty good significant growth rate for that particular industry. But the other tax credit then is a business tax credit for the health, and it is excluding the long-term care insurance premiums. So for health insurance premiums paid by an employer for the benefit of the employees, it specifies that the tax credit is a percentage. Again, there's a blank in the bill of the health insurance premiums that are paid by the employer on behalf of their employees. It limits the tax credit to the tax liability of the employer, and there's no carry forward for this particular tax credit. It allows non-residents and part-year taxpayers to have a prorated tax credit. It requires that the employer to file a claim with the Department of Revenue and then provides the Department of Revenue with rulemaking authority to administer this tax credit. It applies to tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2006. Now, one thing I was trying to clarify, or I think who could qualify for the business tax credit for the health insurance premiums would be like self-employed employees. Self-employed individuals. So if that's not the case, then, maybe we need additional language to exclude these folks. But if you have the self-employed individuals recently got a deduction for the amount of premiums that they're paying for their health insurance. And so and it's forecasted in the 2005-07 biennium that the Oregon self-employed taxpayers will spend $515 million on health insurance premiums. So this would allow then a tax credit for a portion of those health insurance premiums in addition to that deduction as an expense that they're allowed under current law. And also with the passage of 2003, and we'll get into this when we talk about the Reconnect bill that's coming to you from the House side, we have the 2003 Medicare Prescription Drug Improvement and Modernization Act, and in that we have employers who contribute to their employees' health savings accounts to be allowed a federal and Oregon deduction then for health savings account contributions. And I don't know, it seems to me these also could then qualify for to be part of the health insurance premium that they're paying. Mm-hmm. So these are kind of different provisions that are already coming to you, and then this would be kind of my source for the revenue impact for this particular portion. We'll be looking at the amount of premiums that we're going to anticipating are going to be paid by employers through these health savings accounts also.
Thank you. Questions for Liz Beth? Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, for the record, Senator Bruce Starr, Senate District 15, representing Western Washington County. Appreciate the opportunity to testify on this bill this morning. Senate Bill 866 is a relatively simple bill which will encourage Oregon small businesses to hire additional workers and help boost our overall economy by putting Oregonians back to work. As we all know too well, Oregon has had the inauspicious title of highest or next to highest unemployment in the nation for far too long. As I met with members of my local business community prior to the session starting and asked what can the state do to assist local employers to grow their business, the idea that is captured in Senate Bill 866 was one of those suggestions. The first three sections of this bill provide an incentive for businesses to hire new employees. It provides a tax credit based on a percentage of total wages paid to new employees. The amount of the credit is left blank in the bill, and I can leave it to the wisdom of this committee to determine the proper amount the credit should be. This will not cause a drain on Oregon revenues because we are looking at growing Oregon's economic base by encouraging Oregon businesses to hire more, which creates a stronger economy. The credit does have some sideboards, in that the employer must be increasing employment by 10% or is a new employer or a new business. I've included with my testimony a copy of a Corvallis Gazette Times editorial today. It's an AP probably rerun story, but I highlighted some of the quotes in here talking about our unemployment situation in Oregon, and I think it's appropriate that we recognize that as Oregon's economy is recovering, we still have high unemployment, 6.5% unemployment. And starting in Section 4 of the bill, we create an increased incentive for employers to offer health insurance for their employees. Currently, health insurance premiums are a deductible expense for businesses. Under this bill, that would change to a tax credit for businesses to offer health insurance to the employees. Again, the percentage of the credit is left blank in the bill, and that can be filled in at the committee's direction. Appreciate the opportunity to testify in this bill. I stand ready to work with members of this committee and my fellow senators to help create an environment where Oregon employers are encouraged to put Oregonians back to work. I think this is one small step that we can take to do that. And I understand, Mr. Chair, that you'd likely hear other tax credits in the coming days, and be willing to work with the committee on it, whether it's this proposal or another one that makes sense, as we try to find ways to lower that 6.5% unemployment in Oregon to something that's maybe closer to the national average or below. So I appreciate the opportunity to testify this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for the bill. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're just working through the tax credits, trying to get a rank order of them top to bottom and see which ones we can move. Questions for Senator Starr on Senate Bill 866? Senator Metzger.
Yes, Senator Starr, thank you for bringing this forward. I've long been intrigued with the idea of trying to incent more health insurance coverage, and whether it's exactly this bill or not, I don't know. But I appreciate this concept, and especially in terms of growing employment, to encourage that employment growth to have some type of health umbrella coverage, because as we know in dealing with the legislative process with those who don't have health insurance and the cost with how that is shifted to both from private employers and also to us as the state, to encourage other employers to be able to do that in some form, I think in the long run would benefit the state overall as well as the health of the community. And I'm very, very interested in particularly that portion of this bill and to seeing how we can incent employers, and right, they're on the cusp trying to think about what they can afford and what they can't afford, is to provide that extra incentive to do that, because I think it does benefit all parties involved if we can do it. So I would be very anxious in working on that with you, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. And Senator Starr. Mm-hmm.
Other questions or comments?
Turned out to be a comment.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you
very
much
for the hard work you put in to these bills. And on Senate Bill, let me get this right now, 896, if you could, if you're willing to work with Paul and rescheduling the bill to a time that you might be able to bring folks down and affecting, whether it's the definition of water transit, so we really get at those new industries that we're bringing, and also if there's a way to and Liz Beth would know about this also, is declining credit so that you ramp it up at the beginning, and then as they get healthy and mature, the credit would obviously phase itself out.
Right, great.
I'd be interested in rescheduling
that. More than interested in doing that.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
That's it. Quick day for us. So two issues that are going to come up that aren't formal bills, but I think they're coming to this committee. One is the issue of double majority, and so that will be something we'll look at, I believe, this week. On Thursday. And then another bill that's going to be a gut and stuff, or I know they're working on language, is the whole issue of telecom taxes. And there's been a couple of cases adjudicated in the cities, and the industry have been meeting, but I think the industry is working on a bill. And so within the next 7 days, I think we'll be at least looking at some language that the industry folks have put together on telecom and that whole world that kind of had a couple court cases, and now I think some folks are ready for a statewide solution. So we're going to look at language that would achieve that in the next 7 to 10 days. But it won't be a formal bill. It'll probably be another gut and stuff. With that, we will close. Any questions or comments? With that, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 896, close the public hearing on Senate Bill 866, and we stand adjourned.